Well, friends, this evening, as we come to a time of prayer, as tonight is a dedicated prayer meeting, I want us to think briefly upon the subject of our access before God. Our access before God in prayer, it is a privilege that the children of God enjoy. It is not by nature our right, but it is our right because of grace. Now, if you start the reading of your Bibles from the beginning, of course, where do you first encounter something relevant to the subject of prayer? Surprisingly, it is in the words that we have read together. In what way? At first glance, when you read it for the first time, nothing here appears relevant to prayer. But if we just meditate upon these words, I think it will become clear. This is where we read the record that Adam, the father of us all, lost access to God. And when he lost that access to the Lord, he lost that access not only for himself, but since he is our head, our spiritual head, he has lost it for all of us, all of mankind. Have lost access to God. The presence of God was manifested in the Garden of Eden. The Lord walked in the cool of the day. They could commune with the Lord. They could talk with the Lord. They could see the Lord. Of course, this is the pre-incarnate Christ in the garden. But due to Adam's rebellion in sin, due to his rejection of the Word of God, Adam was chased out of the place of God's special presence. He couldn't commune with God as he did before. And from this moment in history and onward, and this is a historical account, this is not a poetic language. These are real people in a real place called Eden. And from this historical account onwards, it was entirely the prerogative of God whether anyone would ever have access to him again. It was on God's part that would we have access to him or not. To you and me, that means this. Any reason to expect our prayers to be heard was gone. There would be no reason for God to hear us, because there was no access to God. Men had no basis upon which to hope that their prayers would be heard. Not anymore. God has shut the way. That's what happened. And this was, as it were, a forceful exile by the decree of God. God decreed it. Man shall not get in. Adam was forced out. You look at verse 24, and it says this, so he, that is the Lord, drove out the man. He threw him out. That's what the Lord did. Forced him out. This driving someone out, it means to force someone out. And it shows that it already showing that Adam realizes something has happened, drastically has happened. He doesn't leave of his own accord. He's driven out. And that's very personal. In verse 3, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden, from the Garden of Eden. The Lord God sent him forth. Of course, this speaks the same for Eve. The account is only stating the penalty for Adam as he's the representative of all humanity. In Adam, all die, the scripture says. So he's representing all humanity. So here is a moment of God's rejection, God's forceful throwing Adam out of his presence, no access to him. He was no longer welcome there in the garden where he had been accustomed to living and working. This had been for home for him and for Eve, a place where they met the Lord as he walked in the cool of the day in the garden. And this rejection made them strangers. Now they are pilgrims in the earth. Now they have been thrown out of where it was their home. Now they are pilgrims. They're aliens. They're now in a place where it's not their home. In the land of their birth, their homeland, they were now treated as intruders, as foreigners. Now they are aliens to their own homeland. Now they are unwelcomed. They have no right to be there because they rejected God, because they fell into sin, because they wanted to do their own thing. So it was an enforced exclusion with a threat of violence. God would kill them if they sought to approach it and to go back to Eden. You look at verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. They're driven out, kept out. And so God is sending out a clear signal. Don't get any ideas about re-entering. Because there is this great angel, cherubims, with a fearsome weapon standing guard at the point of entry. No one has access to the tree of life. No one can enter into, as it were, the presence of the Lord. Now, have you ever wondered at times, how long did this situation last on the earth? Did you ever think about that? How long did it last? How long in history was this angel, or the cherubims, it says, it is plural, more than one, of these special angels of God, called the cherubims. Now, how long in history was these cherubim? The S is not necessary there. But how long were they there? Stationed, guarding entry to members of the next generation or two of the grandchildren of Adam and Eve. If they wanted to go back to Eden and look longingly that way from a distance, they would see these angels with the flaming sword blocking the way. That's what they would see, wouldn't they? In chapter 4 and verse 26, we read that it speaks of a time when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that is interesting. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That already implies something to you of what has happened before that. Perhaps that is a hint that after men's curiosity and interest about the Garden of Eden faded, there was a long period in which no one even considered to or searched for a path to commune with God. There's a hint here. There was not much going on. Man wasn't seeking to commune with the Lord. It was just understood, possibly, that God is far away. God is far from us and is inaccessible to us. The Lord will not hear us. Look at what he has done. He set the cherubim with his flaming sword. We have no access to him. No doubt the Lord left that garden, no longer inhabiting it as the place of his special presence. And that location itself, the Garden of Eden, became a remote and unknown spot. And of course, when the flood came, it washed it all away. But here we are tonight, seeking to pray. How can we do that? And why would we? Is God listening? Or is the way shut? Are there angels guarding our access before God? Is Satan stopping our access before God? This is where Satan has no power. He has no power over the children of God having access before the Lord. Do you know what stops us from having access to God? Ourselves? Sins? That's what it is. Is God listening? Yes, He is listening. Because the God of judgment is also the God of grace. The God of all grace, the scripture says. And this gracious God, who has every right to exclude everybody, all humanity, and to keep everybody at a great distance from Him, He has made a way of access for us. And how? In Jesus Christ, He has made this way of access. This is what we read in Ephesians 3 and verse 12. In whom, that is in Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access, it says. Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, by the faith of the Lord Jesus. So that is what we have. In Him we have that. We have boldness and access. We may, as Hebrews 4:16 says, we may come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All of these, the language is one of access. Now we have access to the Lord through Jesus Christ. And friends, this is no small privilege. It's not to be taken lightly. Prayer is not to be taken lightly. It's not to be spoken flippantly. Think about what you pray. Be thoughtful about it. And then also remember that when we have gathered like this, we are not praying personally. It's not, you may engage in prayer at home and you are more familiar with God. You're speaking about all kinds of things that's going on in your heart and in your soul. And that is a good thing, to spend time with the Lord and speak about what's going on in your heart. But when we are gathered together in this way, we are bringing one another before God. And so remember that. Would this brother, would this sister relate to what you are praying? And that is so important for you to think about. Because in prayer we are to seek to edify one another as well. And so remember that. And that is why we always say, but who, you know, how many take heed to this? To be of help to one another, keep your prayers in this public setting to a limited time, to a couple of minutes, and pray for things. Don't just give statements before God. But statements are said before the Lord in the scriptures. But when you see prayers offered up in congregations, the disciples brought things before God and prayed about matters that was very much concerning everybody. So remember that. And remember that you have access to the Lord who cast humanity out of His sight. As it were, He posted a sign outside of Eden. Keep out. That's what the cherubims were there for. And they had the flaming sword that was going this way and that way. Meaning trespassers will be not shot, but cut down. You have no access before God. That was the notice. Keep out. And you have this. Despite the fact that you have committed sins of, we could say, a more serious nature than that which Adam did. There is more sin, we could say, in this room, among us gathered together, than Adam committed in all of his life. Much less on that fateful day of his fall. But do not neglect this access that you have to the Lord. He has made a way. The door is not shut. The door is open now. Christ is the door. So relish the privilege. Relish your times of prayer. Relish the gathering of the saints together for prayer. Relish every opportunity you have to pray together. Rejoice in the grace and in the fellowship with God which we have. Christ is the one who doesn't have a sword in his hand towards his people, but he has open arms. And so here it is. What an encouragement these verses are. The door was shut. The sign was put out. Keep out. But in Jesus Christ, the sign is taken away. And the people of God are called welcome. Welcome. Well, may God bless these things to each one of us as we think on these things. And may the Lord help us to recognize our great privilege before God, that we have this access through Christ and his precious blood. Amen.